is number eight, Puget Sound Smelt Fishery Regulations Proposals. This is a decision. Craig Burley and David Lowry, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson. For the record, Craig Burley, Fish Management Division Manager, and with me is Dr. Dave Lowry, our Senior Research Scientist for the Marine Fish Science Unit. And what we'd like to do today is provide a brief background on this topic, the policy that's currently in place, a bit about the ecological importance of these species as the species as well as the fisheries. I'd like to talk a bit about the rationale for this rule change review, the proposed rule options that are currently being considered, and then describe a bit about the public input on the options that we've received to date. Since our meeting in April, we've received some additional input that we'd like to present to you. So the Commission's policy, C-3012, for forage fish sets guidance to maintain the healthy population. Populations is a primary goal. That we must consider the role of forage fish in the marine ecosystem, that if sufficient information exists or resource conditions are poor or a conservative approach will be taken. And the achievement of a maximum sustained yield, which is a target in some fisheries, is not a goal for this this species. Surf smelt, as we discussed in April, are an important food source in the Puget Sound environment. Both marine and terrestrial species, some of which are ESA listed, rely on these species. And this is a species that serves as a conduit between the plankton and higher consumers in the food web. Forage fish also are recognized by the Puget Sound Partnership as an indicator of Puget Sound health as well.
So as we talked about in April, there are two fisheries that operate in Puget Sound for surf smelt, the first of which is a commercial fishery, which is primarily a dragnet or beach seine fishery. Currently, this is the only capture method being used, but there are purse seine and dip bag net fishery options that are open. As you'll see in option 2 and 3 of the proposed options that we'll cover in a moment here, closure of those currently open but not utilized fisheries is one of the options on the table. The smelt fishery is an open access fishery, so there's currently no limit on licenses. The commercial fishery is regulated primarily by season closures and regional accessibility and closure timing. These closures are designed to protect the early spawning period. So essentially we have an early window period where the fish are coming into the beach, they're actively spawning, and there's a brief period in there where no one is allowed to fish on them from a commercial perspective. This provides exclusive access for recreational fisheries as well. So it's both a conservation and a kind of a shared resource access plan. Hood Canal is closed year-round, and Hood Canal has been closed since 2004 for all groundfish and forage fish harvest, primarily because of low-dissolved oxygen issues. This fishery is also closed on Friday and Saturday in all areas, so even with the open areas that are shown on the map there, some of which are open year-round, it's always closed on Friday and Saturday, and again, this is for access of or exclusive access of the recreational fishery. So harvest from the commercial smelt fisheries has averaged 57,000 pounds in the early years, in the 70s and 80s, for this fishery, and has increased substantially since then. It's increased by about 74% as compared to the 1970s and 80s time period. And most of the harvest comes from one or two areas, depending on the year. It's the two areas on the north end of Kameno Island in Central Sound. So you can see what we've broken out here is the rest of Puget Sound in red and those two areas off the north end of Kameno and the west side of Kameno Island, 24A and C, alone. And what you can see is that especially in recent years, since about 1996, the vast majority of the landings have come from these two areas. And this is represented between 80 and 95% of the landings during any given year. So the recreational fishery that we have, there are two different tools that are used to harvest the fish. The first is dip net gear, and dip netters shown in the bottom left here, primarily these are being caught for human consumption. Jig gear is used for both collection of smelt for human consumption and for salmon bait. So you can see the jig kind of schematic in the middle there with the weight and then the multiple hooks on it. The harvest and the effort for the recreational fishery is unknown. We've done a couple of pilot studies in very localized areas, but on a soundwide basis, we don't know how many people fish, and we don't know how much they take. And a license is not required. Smelt are one of the few fish and wildlife species that you can take without a license. The other ones in the same company are things like carp, bullfrog, and non-native crayfish. So it's not very good company to be in. The season for the recreational fishery is open year-round, soundwide, except again for Hood Canal. Hood Canal is a full closure area. It's closed Wednesdays and Thursdays for dip netting, but open 7 days a week for jig fisheries. That Wednesday-Thursday fishery is a trade-off with the commercial fishery, which is closed Friday-Saturday. So recreational folks can fish on the weekend. The commercial folks right now have the weekdays and then Sunday as well. The daily limit is 10 pounds of forage fish, all species combined. In most cases, though, people are not going after multiple species on a day, so a lot of these folks are taking where we've encountered them and where we've estimated this. They're taking their full 10 pounds or as close to it as they can get from a given beach and just smelt. All smelt caught must be retained. This is a rule that was aimed at conservation of the species. There's high mortality associated with handling stress, so a lot of these fish die whether you keep them or not. There's also a potential issue because the females are larger than the males in most cases, especially the ones that are coming into spawn where they've got the access to the fishery. So rather than allowing people to high grade for the females and take them out of the population, you have to keep all of the individuals, males and females, so all sizes.
So again, just to capture the rationale for the review of this rule, we wanted to make sure that we're ensuring that the fisheries are meeting our commission policy guidance, recognizing the ecological role of smelt in Puget Sound, the identification that we are seeing an increase in commercial harvest since that 1970s, 80s base period, recognizing that recreational effort and harvest remain unknown. While we have done some limited assessments, they're more site-specific and not comprehensive assessments. And then we've also recognized that there are some conflicts that occur between fishers and landowners in some areas around the Puget Sound. So, again, just to run through the options, option one is status quo. This maintains the current commercial and recreational fishing regulations that Dave just described to you regarding the commercial beach seine fishery as well as the recreational dip net fisheries. Option two is an option that would close the commercial fishery one of the days that it's currently open on Sunday. What this would do also is implement a night closure, so a closure from 10 p.m. at night to 6 a.m. in the morning on those remaining days that the commercial fishery is open. Option two would also implement a night closure for the recreational fishery on each of the days that it's open, the Friday through Tuesday. As Dave mentioned, this would also close inactive commercial smelt gear types, purse seine and dip bag net. There has been, in the last 10 years, I believe, two landings of dip bag net fishing, but very low levels. And based on opportunity, looking at this this rule, we estimated that it would result in about a 40% reduction in fishing. This assumes that there's no change in the fishing behavior. Option three, a more conservative rule. This would close all commercial fishing in Puget Sound. This would also implement the night closure for the recreational fishery for the dipnet fishery on days that it's open, would close inactive fisheries, and would anticipate to result in a further reduction in harvest of smelt in Puget Sound. So for public comments, we conducted an initial meeting with the industry, commercial industry, on January 30th. We opened our public comment period online from February 24th through May 30th. We had the public meeting at our Mill Creek office on March 21st, where we discussed these options. And then, as you are aware, you held public hearing on April 12th and received comment at that time. With respect to the written public comment that we received, we totaled this information through June 5th. And we received comments in writing both on our line through online through our webpage, as well as the commission's office received a number of emails, comments in the commission inbox, as well as letters both to the commission and the agency. And with those written comments, 32.6% of those comments were in support of option one, which is the status quo. 3.7% were in support of option two, with 60.9% in support of option three. There was another 3% that were in support of other options, and those I can talk about in a minute when we get into a little bit more detail on the comments. During this, since the April Commission meeting, we did receive a bit of communication regarding the science around fishery and the data we have, and so we'd like to start by giving you a brief rundown on questions regarding some work that appeared on our agency webpage in 2001.
So, as Craig mentioned, there was some work that appeared on the agency webpage. A document that some of the commissioners, and I believe the commission office, received was a copy of our webpage that had been accessed in 2001. And there were some statements made on there that were based on studies that were done by the department in the 90s. So that's what I'd like to recap here briefly. So in 1993, there was a publication by Darcy Wildermuth from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and this involved a pilot study that was conducted in 1991 and 92 at Ross Point, which is near Port Orchard and Sinclair Inlet and Central Sound, just across from Bremerton. And essentially, what she was seeking to do was apply the method that we currently use for Pacific herring, and that's used both here and in Canada for Pacific herring, which is to go to the spawning grounds, sample the habitat in some manner, collect eggs, and then back calculate an abundance of adults from the eggs that have been collected. So the way that Darcy went about this was to break up the Ross Point area, take sediment samples of eggs from distinct areas throughout it that were representative of the entire spawning area or the available substrate. And then she essentially, her and Dan Pentilla, who testified before the commission earlier today, picked through all of the eggs, aged them, staged them, look at how many there were, and then tried to use the density estimates of how many eggs were placed on the gravel and back calculate using the fecundity and the size of the population, the individuals in the population, to get at how many pounds of fish would have been involved with placing that many eggs in the gravel. It makes several assumptions, and these are written into the document. We can go over these in detail if necessary, but it makes several assumptions that are made for mathematical ease, but they're things like any given female smelt deposits all of her eggs in one pass. Because if she could make multiple passes to deposit her eggs, she might deposit them elsewhere. So you're assuming that any given female deposits all of her eggs at once. And that's partially refuted by some data that we have. It also assumes several other things of that nature about the biology of these animals. And many of those assumptions, again, for mathematical purposes, are not really biologically sound. So the expansion of this method that was just conducted in this one location 2 years to Puget Sound at large occurred on this webpage and was related to the 1995 commercial landings. So it basically said, using this method that we've got a pilot study for, if you were to assume that the assumptions that held here and the levels of spawning that we saw here are consistent throughout the sound, these are the numbers you might arrive at. And what it ultimately said was that the abundance of smelt in Puget Sound was about, or the commercial harvest was about 1% of the predicted abundance of smelt in Puget Sound. This was a pilot effort. It was later abandoned by the department. It's not a method that we've tried to extend and use elsewhere. It has been used in one location in Canada, in Burrard Inlet, right near Vancouver. So there have been essentially two pilot studies, and at this point, both Canada, Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife have said that this is not a method that we can extend on a scope that would actually allow us to make a sound-wide or a broader estimate of this. So at this point, that's kind of where we left it, and I know that you have a briefing document and a fact sheet on that that includes some more details, but I'd be happy to answer questions on that as we get to the end here.
So moving into the just a recap of the public comments that we've received for the different options. On option one, we heard from commenters that we should maintain this current fisheries, that they do not see a problem with the resource, that there's not adequate data to justify a reduction in the harvest. That we also have heard that the commercial fishery on Lopez Island is a community event and is important in that community, and we're requesting that that not be closed. There was also comment that if there were problems with homeowners, that those should be addressed at in those particular locations. Regarding option two, there were some comments in support of this, that reducing fishing until better understanding of the Puget Sound population is known, that they'd support a more conservative approach to provide smelt for food for other species. And if a night closure was enacted, that they would prefer that this not be, or that this only be around that North Kamano Island. Relative to option three, we received comments that we should be conserving smelt for other species in the food chain, that we should be protecting smelt to assist with restoration of salmon steelhead as well as other species, and that we should adopt option three to prevent overfishing of smelt, and that we heard concerns for substantial drop in smelt numbers from historical levels in some areas. And then finally, we did receive comments that fell outside those three options, and they in general recommended a license for smelt to fund studies, that maybe we should limit the number of commercial licenses to stabilize harvest. We also heard that we should reopen harvest of smelt in Hood Canal. As well as we heard a number of commenters that recommended we close all commercial and recreational fishing to provide protection for these fish. And so with that, we'd entertain any questions.
Great. Thank you. Good presentation, as always. Any questions? This is a decision, so this is your last chance. Anyone have any questions? That was very informative about the biomass estimate and reference. We did receive quite a few comments pointing out people's views about the adequacy or inadequacy of our science and whether we should not base all of our decision on very good scientific basis before we make any choices. Okay. If there's no further questions, we're ready to entertain a motion. Would the Fish Committee like to make a motion? Fish Committee Chair?
Yes. Yeah, the Fish Committee met last night and considered some other options that we would like to. I don't know whether we should have a motion first and have an addendum to that motion, or should we just go ahead right now and tell you what we have decided, what we are recommending?
Before I answer that, Commissioner Holtzmiller, do you have a...
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, that's what I would really like to hear, is what the Fish Commission Committee came up with, and because I, there again, personally, I'm making a decision totally in the blind.
Okay. Last night, the Fish Committee met and talked about the three options. We would like to recommend a following amendment to option two. And I think I'll call on Larry to do that. He's been in the thick of this, and we all have what the suggestion is in front of us here, at least the Fish Committee does.
If you're going to amend one of the options and present motion language, we need to get the original amendment.
That's what I asked.
The motion on the table.
That's what I asked.
Okay. So go ahead, make the motion to adopt option two. See, is there language anywhere that we have to be careful?
I move to adopt the amendments under option two as presented.
Yep, it's
why
on.
Don't you do that?
Okay, go ahead. Fine. Commissioner Smith.
Option two, I move to adopt the amendments under option two as presented.
Okay, do I hear a second?
I'll second
that. The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Carpenter to adopt the amendments under option two as presented. Okay, so now we've got the main motion on the table, and we're ready to discuss amending that motion.
Yes.
Proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This was a great deal of effort on behalf of the four members of the Fish Committee. Commissioner Smitten's not here, but and we've made a number of changes, so I don't know if I have all my notes in order. But the Fish Committee recommends the following amendment to option two. We're calling it 2B. Establish a 60,000-pound annual cap for the commercial fishery. The additional direction is the Fish Committee believes that the Lopez Island Community Smelt Event provides valuable educational benefits. To maintain these benefits, the Fish Committee suggests that Director Anderson evaluate and potentially authorize a permit for this event under the authority of RCW 7732550. We also want to have in this motion an annual review of these fisheries so that we can tweak them as we need to into the future. What have I missed, Conrad?
Why don't you read that last paragraph there?
Say that again.
Okay.
Right here. Okay. Oh, here we are. I scratched out some. Considering any new information or analysis, provide recommendations to the Commission on any further modifications needed to rules regulating the harvest of forage fish in Puget Sound.
Okay.
Okay. The motion's been made to amend, and I won't repeat that. But everyone heard it, I think. The motion's been made to amend the main motion. Do I hear a second for the amendment?
Second.
Oh, hang on.
Take a break for a minute.
Okay. There's no second to that motion. We're going to start over again with the motion to amend the main motion. Yep. Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Fish Committee recommends the following amendments to option two. establish a 60,000-pound annual cap on surf smelt for the commercial industry.
Do I hear a second?
I second the motion.
Commissioner Kehoe has seconded the motion to amend the main motion by establishing a 60,000-pound annual cap for commercial fishing. Motion's been made and seconded. This is the amendment. Motion has been made and seconded. Is there further discussion? Director Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to make sure I'm clear on the action before the body. If you look under tab 8 and you go back to the page that has option 2 at the top, page 11 in your packet.
Okay.
The very top of that page, it says option 2. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just to be clear that I understand the motion on the table. The motion is to adopt option 2, so that all the changes that are contained in this document entitled option 2. And the amendment to the motion adds that there will be a total annual quota for Puget Sound smelt commercial fishery that may not exceed 60,000 pounds. So that's the amendment. Option 2. Option 2 is the main motion. The amendment places the 60,000 annual quota on the Puget Sound smelt commercial fishery. So I just wanted to be clear that I had it straight on exactly what it was you were voting on, and maybe that'll help you as well.
Thank you for that clarification. I think we are all of one mind on that. Any confusions on that point? No? Okay. Oh, sorry.
No. Just to be clear, following the director, you have a number of rules on that page 11.
Yeah.
And so to be clear, it probably fits the amended language you're about to vote on. If you're going to pass that, it should be identified in which rule it goes in, so it goes into one of the rules. And probably the first one, WAC 220-49-005, if this were to pass, you could add a Section 3 that put in the annual quota for Puget Sound smelt commercial fishery may not exceed 60,000 pounds. So that would tell you what rule it goes in, where it is, and then it's in with the rest of the stuff in Option 2.
Great. Thank you. Commissioner Kaney?
Yeah, would we, thank you, Madam Chair. Would we also need to drop 220-49-057, making it unlawful to fish for smelt for commercial purposes? Is that not in?
I believe that it should be under option 3.
Yeah, this is option 2.
Okay, I missed that. Yeah.
Okay. Director Anderson?
So the amendment that has been proposed, that's currently on the table for consideration, would, under WAC 220-49-005, that's on the top of the page of where option 2 is represented, we would add a Section 3. The amendment would actually add a Section 3. And Section 3 would read, the total annual quota for the Puget Sound smelt commercial fishery may not exceed 60,000 pounds.
Okay. That makes it perfectly clear where it appears, what it's affecting. All right. Are we on the same page now, where this, what we're deciding upon? The motion's been made and seconded. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed say no. Motion carries. So the amendment has now been made to the main motion.
You just voted on the amendment. Now you have to vote on the main motion as amended.
Right. Okay. We're back to the main motion. It has been amended. Is there any further discussion of the main motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say no. Motion carries. Great. Thank you. All right. Decision has been made. Appreciate all your work. Now we want to address some of the direction that has been recommended by the Fish Committee. So, Fish Committee, would you repeat what you're suggesting we discuss with staff?
Madam Chair, we had a whole variety of comments, but in lieu of most of those, we'd request delegating the management of this fishery to the director. Mm-hmm. And the only other piece that I'd like to add is considering any new information or analysis, provide recommendations to the commission on any further modifications needed to the rules regarding the harvest of forage fish in Puget Sound on an annual basis.
Okay. Regulating the harvest of forage fish.
Regulating, excuse me. Yeah.
Okay.
Do I need to reread that? Is that okay?
I think the director has the gist, and we don't need a motion for this. This is unless you feel the need for us to vote. Director Anderson?
Madam Chair, I would recommend that you do make a motion that you're delegating the authority to make the appropriate rulemaking to manage the commercial Puget Sound commercial smelt fishery. I'd recommend you make that motion. And my second piece is what I interpret from the Fish Committee's further recommendations is that we would come back after we have a year to put this, after we've implemented this rule and we have a year's worth of experience behind us, we would come back to you, report back to you on how it went, and we'd be considering any new information or analysis and provide any additional recommendations to the committee regarding further modifications in order to achieve the intent of the commission.
Very good. Okay. Commissioner Carpenter, would you like to make that motion to delegate?
I'd like to make a motion to delegate to the authority for managing the surf smelt fishery within Puget Sound. And along with that, I'd like to put this comment considering any new information or analysis, provide recommendations to the Commission on any further modifications needed to rules regulating the harvest of forage fish in Puget Sound on an annual basis.
Thank you. Do I hear a second to the motion? The motion's been seconded by Commissioner Mencken. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion carries.